It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining me now is Pastor Tumba Lamoto, who's going to be giving us some answers for this week. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Yes, how are you?
Well, thank you very much, Pastor. Our question for today is, do religions around the world encourage prejudice, sexism, and racism?
The answer would be yes, but also no.
Can't be both, Pastor.
For the simple reason that, yes, it can be both.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, it can be both, yes or no. There are some religions which would promote like sexism, by that meaning that some people may not be able to share the word. It means job, and that would promote sexism. And then in some of the religions, you find that they would also promote that if you are not a member of that religion, then you can be discriminated, or at times violence would be tolerated on you. But looking at Christianity per se, maybe as portrayed in the Bible, you will find that the Bible is talking of equality of believers. In other words, there's a message whereby we are all equal in Jesus Christ. But that principle is not only in the New Testament. We were all created equal according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. So that equality is very important. If it is maintained, it would regret the looking down of other people.
All right.
But yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, but where there is when a religion looks at its members to be more superior than the others, then there it promotes either racism or some sexism.
So help me understand, Pastor. The very Bible that you're talking about is the one that created superiority and inferiority. For example, you were talking about the book of Genesis, but have you forgotten what God said in the book of Genesis chapter 3? Is it not God who created in equality between a man and a woman, implying that, or in fact statingly, explicitly, that a man is going to dominate and the woman is going to be dominated?
Well, perhaps we would say it in two ways. The first one is the ideal. In the ideal situation, that's where there is that equality of humanity.
But we're not living in an ideal world, Pastor. I'm not quite sure why we're positing idealism, and yet we know that God has since popped that balloon of idealism. We don't live in an ideal world. God is now declaring that the man is going to dominate the woman. The woman is going to be dominated by the man. God effectively instituting inequality.
No, he's not instituting inequality. In actual sense, it is also a failure to understand or interpret the world. For example, the Bible says in that very same book of Genesis, where God says, I will make you a helper. So if you are understanding, okay.
No. That's not the one I was referring to, Pastor. I was referring to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. That's what I'm referring to. God there institutes a man ruling over a woman being ruled by a man.
But if you look at that passage, you find that it is happening because of sin.
Absolutely. So, where we all live. We all live in a sinful world. We don't live in Eden. We don't live in an ideal world. Idealism has no place in this world, right?
Yes. But so if you just look it on the onset, then you will find that you may go wrong with that interpretation, because you look at the same passage in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, whereby God says that there is this struggle, the great controversy between good and evil. So that
it's not that there, Pastor. That verse doesn't exist in Genesis.
Oh, come again?
That verse does not exist in the book of Genesis. There is no verse that speaks of the great controversy in the book of Genesis, chapter 3.
Well, I'm not saying that it is the verse is there, but the concept is there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, whereby the Bible says that the woman will be saved, or the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. So the concept there is where you see this struggle going on.
But so, we're not talking about that struggle between the animals and the humans, Pastor. We're talking about inequality, prejudice, sexism, and racism. For now, I'm pointing out that in the Bible, sexism appears there instituted by God, apparently, where God says the man must dominate the woman. The woman must be dominated by the man.
But you cannot just build a thought on one verse.
No. This is not a thought on one verse. I'm building a thought, Pastor, on God's destruction. Instruction. We don't really need many instructions from God. If God says, "Thus saith the Lord," or do you want God to be corroborated by something else?
Not really. So. But if you look at this, I would also say that perhaps there is an understanding of the Bible which can come in a cultural setting of some kind.
Okay.
So in that case, it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that God has instituted the sexism. I don't think so.
So what does it mean here? What does this verse mean?
Well, on the other, you look at it in two ways. One of them is the consequence of sin.
Right.
The result of sin.
So what is the consequence of sin?
In this case, it's like the mistake that the woman made to eat the fruit now brings the consequences.
So what are those consequences, Pastor?
So those are some of the things that they come, like the sexism, as we are including it. It is coming, not that it is sanctioned by God, but these are the obvious consequences of sin.
Who's making these declarations, Pastor?
Well, it is like you make a choice, you go astray, and then what else do you expect to get?
I'm asking in this verse, who is declaring these consequences, Pastor? They're not happening automatically. It is God who is making that declaration. Am I asking who is making that declaration?
It's God.
So they're not happening by themselves. Can we agree?
We can, yes.
Yeah, so God is the one who is instituting them. Yeah, okay, you want to use the word pronounce? Sure. God pronounced these consequences, correct?
Yes, it's like there are two ways, right?
Right.
So if you follow this way, this will be the result.
Right.
If you follow this way, then this will be the result.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Now that you follow this way, then this is what is going to happen.
Of course. I totally understand. I totally agree with you. So who created these options?
When you go to read the parable of the sower, whereby God planted the good seed, and then you find that there were also bad seeds coming up, so Jesus Christ says the enemy did it.
I'm asking who created those seeds.
They're created by the enemy.
So the enemy creates seeds?
I'm talking about the tares, you know, the parable of the tares.
Totally understand, and I'm following that train of thought of yours, Pastor. I'm trying to establish. Yes. Are you therefore suggesting, in the world in which we live, the God we worship has got the same powers to create, in the same way that the enemy has got powers to create, God creates good, and the evil one is created by the devil? So, is that what the pastor is saying?
No, you know, there are times where God assumes the responsibility, but it is not him who is doing that.
Who created evil, Pastor?
God did not create evil. Evil originated with Lucifer.
Are you saying God did not create evil, Pastor?
He did not.
All right. Can I ask you to come with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 7? Do you have a Bible with you?
Just give me a second.
Don't worry, I'll read it to you. Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 7 reads, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 7.
Yes. So when you just look at the surface level, you might completely say that is what God does.
That's what God says. I don't have to look at the surface, Pastor. I just need to take God at his word. If God says, I create it, I take that to mean he creates it.
But it is still an assumption. Here is why. Because look who created Lucifer?
God created Lucifer.
He created him. And then who created sin?
God created
sin. So you find that God created Lucifer. Lucifer originated
sin. I'm saying God created sin, Pastor. God created sin. According to verse 7, God created it.
It is an assumption.
No, that's what verse 7 says, Pastor. You don't have to assume it. Just read the Bible as it is. Isaiah states it categorically clear in chapter 45, verse 7. God speaking there says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So you don't have to interpret anything. Just read the text as it is. No assumptions. Just read as it is. You can find your own version if you don't like my version. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7.
But when you look at that passage, if you say God created Lucifer and Lucifer is the cause of evil, then
the Bible doesn't say Lucifer is the cause of evil. Mm. Chapter 45, verse 7 of Isaiah says God is the one who created evil, not Lucifer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, but that thought cannot just be built on that passage.
Why not, Pastor? That's what the verse says. Why are we not trusting the verse? That's what the verse says.
The point that I'm trying to drive at is that there are some passages in Scripture. If you read them on as you read, you'll find that you will easily say, yes, it is God who created evil.
Well, that's what he says himself. It's not the prophet speaking about God. It's not somebody representing God. It's God speaking in the first person. He's speaking by himself there. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Oh, yeah, he does say that. But if you say God creates evil and then that is the principle to go wrong, then it creates more problems.
Okay, help me understand. Why would God's words create problems?
Because let's go back to the parable of the sower.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, in the parable of the sower, God created the good seed.
Right. Is that what the parable says? Because the parable doesn't say that. The parable doesn't talk about who created the seeds. The parable simply speaks of who sowed the seeds. So the seeds already existed, and my question was, who came up with them?
So that question was asked, and then it says, okay, should we, that is in Mark chapter 13 about the parable of the sower.
Right, right.
God himself, yeah, God himself says he is the one who planted
the good seed. Right,
yeah.
Right.
But,
and the enemy sowed the bad seed.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with that, Pastor. I'm not disputing who's sowing here. The parable is very clear that there are two sowers, the master and the enemy. And my question was not about that. My question was about who created the seeds, who came up, who made the seeds to begin with, the good seed and the bad seed. Because that's what the person who's asking these questions is trying to establish. This person is trying to establish whether it comes from religion, this idea of disequilibrium, this inequity, this prejudice, the sexism and racism. Does it not come from religion? Do religions around the world encourage prejudice, sexism and racism? That's what this person is asking.
That's what I'm trying to say, that yes, the religions would promote racism. That is true, but it is based on the misunderstanding of some of those concepts.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So can we agree on the sexism part, that at least is what we find in the book of Genesis chapter 3, that God is the one who caused the man and the woman to be not equal according to their sexes. The feminine gender is inferior and is to be dominated by the man. The masculine gender is to dominate the feminine gender, at least as far as Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Would that be correct, Pastor?
Would not be correct. The reason is, while God was pronouncing those judgments, it was because of the sin issue.
Of course.
So the inequality, we would say the male and female gender inequality doesn't mean that one is inferior to the other. It does not.
So when the Bible says he will dominate you, what does that mean? What does domination and being dominated mean, Pastor?
Well, I wouldn't think that God would say this would be the man now like dictating everything for a woman. I think that is not the concept there.
What does domination mean, Pastor? What does rulership mean? When somebody's a ruler, what do they do?
Yeah, when someone is a ruler, that means he rules over somebody.
Right.
So someone must obey the one who is ruling over him.
Absolutely.
But that is not the principle that God himself is doing that. What I'm trying to drive at is that this is happening because of sin.
I understand, and I agree with you, Pastor.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing the cause of this happening. What I'm trying to establish is that it is happening. Yes, it is happening because of sin. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing that.
Yeah.
So the cause of it happening is what? What caused it happening is absolutely correct. But I was hoping that we would come to an agreement that because we know what caused it, we will then accept that it is happening now, isn't it?
We can accept that it is happening, but we cannot promote it to go on.
All right. So when you're saying it cannot be promoted, what are you suggesting? Because when we go further and throughout the Bible, the woman is told that every time she's a woman, she must obey the man. She must submit to her husband. So this is promoted throughout Scripture. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, women, submit to your own husbands. So isn't that promoting the same thing that has been instituted in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16? Isn't that promoting it?
It is not the same thing.
Okay.
Because the submission, for example, the word you have come in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, you find that obey in as to the Lord. Okay?
Absolutely.
So there is something you can do, but always it should be in relationship with what God teaches.
So help me understand, Pastor. So when you're saying in the Lord, I would have, I'm assuming that's even worse than the worldly one, because the worldly one gives women the right to disagree and walk away. Whereas if you're going to be obeying in the Lord, Christians don't have that right to disagree with God. Thus saith the Lord, and that's it. So if the wife is to obey their husbands in the Lord, and some verses say, as Christ is the head of the church, so is the man the head of her, of the family, or the wife. So the wife must submit to her husband as she submits to Christ. So it effectively makes the if we're to follow those verses according to their correct hermeneutic, if Christ says jump to the church must jump. If therefore the husband says jump to the wife must jump. Isn't that what this translates to mean?
Okay, let us remember that who is righteous? Who is someone who is caring? Who is doing good? Who is the utmost? The good person, if ever we have, it is God Himself.
Right.
So. If everyone to be in place, to be doing things perfectly. So if say a woman is obeying the husband just because he's a husband, right, the husband might be evil. In obeying to the husband when he's doing bad things,
right,
is not the same as obeying God as obeying God, because
yes,
man is evil, God is pure. Yes.
So what is the pastor saying? Husbands must be obeyed only when the wife thinks that what he's saying is correct. Is that what the pastor is saying?
Not only when he thinks it's correct, but it is in line with the biblical principles,
yes,
the teachings of Jesus Christ. Yes.
So that's what it means. Is that what the pastor is saying? That's what the verse means.
Yes.
Okay. So according to the pastor, that is not sexism.
It is not.
Okay. All right, Pastor.
Yeah.
I would love to engage you for a longer period on this issue.
Oh, my goodness.
Our time is up. I've kept you longer enough. Thank you very much for your time, Funis. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you've been really provoking. Eh?
I'd love to invite you for a longer period, Funis, so we can talk these things out without having the issue of time. But now I can't keep you any longer because we asked you for a short space of time, and I need to respect that, yeah?
Okay, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm looking forward to our conversation tomorrow, Funis.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day, Father Funis.
Same to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.